Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning, and let's take our Bibles, if you would please, and turn to the book of Matthew. And I'd have you, if you would please, to turn to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll begin reading at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to begin reading at verse number 24. The Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Brother John Bogan, would you pray for the message this morning, and everybody can be seated. Please. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I've been teaching through the book of John, verse by verse. And if you were here, many of you that were here, you know the last two lessons that we had was on Jesus Christ's encounter with Pontius Pilate. Now, we covered that last Wednesday night, then we covered it the Sunday night before it. And we looked at when Jesus Christ goes before Pilate, and Pilate caves in to the pressure. And we looked at the last lesson we looked at on Wednesday night, how that his main motivation in putting to death an innocent man was fear. And I spoke to you about the fact that if we feared God like we ought to, then we wouldn't fear man. But when you see a fellow that fears man, he usually don't fear God. And if he fears God, he usually won't fear man. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It will trap you and it will keep you from doing that which you ought to do for the Lord, and wind you up one day either in the lake of fire, or if you're saved, at the judgment seat of Christ, bankrupt, because we were more concerned about what people thought about us than we were the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I thought this would be a good time to continue this thought and look on it, as we have been looking at Pilate. And the title of my message this morning is Pilate's Mistake. You see, Pilate made a big mistake when dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a mistake, and millions of people on this earth have continued to make the same mistake and still are making the same mistake some 2,000 years later. And Pilate's mistake, listen to me this morning, Pilate's mistake was he thought that he could wash his hands of Jesus Christ. Now, when we use that now in our modern day vernacular, don't we? A fellow say something like this, he'll say, I've washed my hands of it. You ever heard that? You ever said that? I've washed my hands of it. I'm finished with it. I'm through with it. It's a popular expression. It's an idiom. Not an idiot. An idiom that we use. And what it means is, it's a fellow doing this. He is symbolically getting rid of a problem by removing it, as if he were removing dirt from his hands.
Yeah.
I'm finished with this. I'm clean of this. This is not an issue to me no more. I've took care of this. It's not a subject that I'm gonna deal with anymore. I've washed it from my hands. My hands are clean of it. Let's move on to something else. Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was an innocent man. If you've been here for the last couple of lessons we did in John, we looked at that. He was warned by his wife that I believe God gave her a dream not to fool with this man. He knew, he said over and over, he's innocent, he's innocent, and he's innocent. Even after he has Jesus Christ scourged and beaten profusely, he comes up and he still says, this is an innocent man. This is an innocent man. Pilate knows that he's innocent. Yet he is the one that gives the okay, gives the orders for Jesus Christ to be crucified. How would you like to be the one that dies and goes into eternity as the one that gave the okay for Jesus Christ to be crucified? But he just washes his hands of it. A couple of passages I'll bring to your attention. Remember now, he's dealing with the Jews. Over there, the psalmist says in Psalm 26:6, he says, I will wash my hands in innocency. So the context of washing your hands over there is, I'm innocent. Here's another passage. If you study this expression, a way of using this, you'll find this. Go read this sometime. Over there in Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, you read over there that if a man was found dead, and it was unknown who the murderer was, they just found a man dead, didn't know who murdered him. This is what they do. The elders would take a heifer along with the priest, and they sacrifice that heifer for the murder of the slain man. Then all the elders of the land would wash their hands over the beheaded heifer. And this is what they'd say. They'd say, our hands have not shed their blood, neither have our eyes seen it. I'm washing my hands of it. We've made a sacrifice for whoever murdered this man, and we're washing our hands over it. We didn't do it, and we didn't see who done it. Now we're washing our hands over it, and we're walking away from it. We've took care of it. And that's what Pilate is doing. When he washes his hand, it's not just that he's, you know, frantically trying to clean himself of the situation, but he's also, it's a symbol of, hey, I gave it my best shot, man. I tried to reason with him. I'm not the one that brought him here. You know, I was just put in a tough spot. I did all that I could do in the situation. You know what? This is just a bad thing that's come up in my life. I didn't want this. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Why did they put me in this position? Why did they drag me into this? I done what I could. I'm just going to wash my hands of it. And you know what? You just can't dwell on things. I'm washing my hands of it. And from this point on, I'm moving forward. I'm washing my hands of the issue of what a man's going to do with Jesus Christ. That is the worst mistake a man or a woman could ever make. You cannot wash your hands of Jesus Christ. You cannot bypass the issue. You cannot just ignore it and say, it'll go away. No, it won't. You can't ignore the issue of Jesus Christ and say, it'll all pan out. It'll work out in the end. Everything's going to be all right. No, you can't. You can't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I'm not going to have to revisit this issue. Yes, you will. Amen. That Bible says it's once appointed men to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody, and I heard a fellow say one time, he said, but the dying part ain't what scares me. I ain't scared of dying. He says it's that judgment part. Amen. You may not be scared of dying, and you may act pretty fearless right now. I'm telling you, just a few seconds after you're dead and you stand before a holy God that's got a throne bigger than this planet, and all you can see from one side of the galaxy to the other, it's just God, and you stand before him naked and ashamed before him. I promise you right then, you just won't get along all right.
Amen.
You just won't say, well, I ain't scared of dying. I ain't scared to face God. I'm a big man. I've always took care of myself down here. No, you didn't. You've been breathing his oxygen.
Amen.
You've been using his material. And one day he's going to take everything away from you, and you're going to realize you're going to suddenly stand before God if you die lost without Jesus Christ. And you're going to stand before God, and you're going to look down, and nothing's going to be up under you. You're just suspended up there before a holy God. And you're going to think, it's just the power of God right now. That's not dropping me into an eternal fire. A realization will come for those that die without Christ. You can see this. You can go read this sometime over in Mark chapter 15. I'll read it to you real quick. Pilate, even after he turns him over, Pilate thinks he's finished with the issue. He doesn't even know that he's dead yet. Mark 15:42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and he went in boldly. Because he knows Pilate could have his head cut off. He said he came in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled he were already dead, and called to him the centurion. He asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Now here's the thing. Pilate knew about these crucifixions. Sometimes they will last days. And Jesus Christ is dead at 6 hours. He gets on there about 9 o'clock in the morning. He's dead about 3 in the afternoon. And so when Joseph comes to him and he comes in boldly before Pilate, and he says, I want his body. Pilate's like, is he dead yet? You mean he's already dead? I don't even know if he's dead. Let me talk to this centurion soldier and find out if he's dead or not. You know why? Pilate wasn't keeping up with what's going on at the cross. Pilate wasn't keeping up. You know what he did? When he washed his hands and he turned them over to him, he just said, well, okay, sarah, sarah, what will be, things happen. It was a shock to him to even know that the man was dead already. And he thought, boy, you know what he thought? He thought in a matter of hours. It was just hours later that Jesus is dead. He thought, well, it's all over. It's all over. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't all over. And if you die without Jesus Christ, it won't be all over for you, friend. It'll just be beginning. I got 3 things I want to say to you in light of this. This is not a long message this morning, and certainly not a difficult one to understand. But I'm trying to get us to look at a man and an example of a man that made a tragic mistake some 2,000 years ago. God put the thing in the Bible for us to read about it, know about it. And I don't want us to make that same mistake. Saved or lost. See, some people think once they get saved and they trust Christ and he comes in and saves them, then they can just wash their hands of them, just go out and do everything they want to. They'll never have to answer for it. Lost people say, I ain't dealing with Jesus Christ. I ain't dealing with that issue. I ain't worried about that. You know, I'm just going to wash my hands of it. We'll come do something else. You can't do that either. 3 things I want you to look at, and that'll be the message this morning. Number one, I want you to notice that Pilate had a chance. Pilate had a chance. He had a chance to do the right thing. He did. Pilate knew that he was an innocent man. Pilate knew that he was a just man. Listen, it was Pilate that said, I find no fault in him. I want to tell you something. Everybody has a chance to do the right thing. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Do you know who Jesus Christ died for? He died for everybody. He died for the whole world. And you say, well, what about the heathens in the jungle? What about the folks that have never heard? I guess I'm sick and tired of people saying that mess. What about you that have heard? What about you that do know the truth? What about you that know exactly what the gospel is? Quit worrying about them. Why don't you trust Christ? But since you ask, I'll give you an answer. You don't want to answer anyway. You just want an excuse to live like the devil. The truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ lightens every man that comes into this world. Every man has some degree of truth. The Bible says in the book of Romans that all men are without excuse. There's nobody going to die one day and have an excuse for dying lost. Every man that comes in this world has been given enough light to damn them. And every man that in this world has not been given enough light to save them. You say, what do you mean? Everybody's given enough light to know there's a God. And if they will act upon the light God gives them, God will give them more light. And they can get the light to trust Christ. But when you got heathen people and heathen countries and heathen civilizations, and you wonder, you know, why they don't have a preacher, they don't have a Bible, and they're just going to die and go to hell. Somewhere years ago, they rejected God. They rejected the notion of God. They went into their paganism. They went into their infidels. They become infidels, and they're just wicked people, godless people. And they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and they reject God. They reject everything. And so you say, well, hundreds of years later, they don't even know what's going on. It's their fault. To every man's been given a measure of faith. They didn't react on the truth God gave them. Don't be worried about, well, so-and-so didn't have a chance and God ain't fair. God's fair. God ain't going to send nobody to hell that don't deserve it. Everybody has a chance. Listen. Pilate had a chance here to do the right thing. I know that he was between a rock and a hard place. I know that he had the pressure on him. I know he stood to lose a lot. But he wound up losing the most valuable thing he had. That was his soul. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He dies poor. If he owned everything in the world and he died without Jesus Christ and went into hell, he'd die poor. Poor. He had a chance. Just like every one of you here this morning. You've got a chance. God's given you a chance to be in a church this morning to hear the gospel. That Jesus Christ went to the cross some 2,000 years ago and he died on that cross and he shed his blood on that cross and he was buried and the Bible says he was dead for 3 days and in 3 days he rose again from the dead. And the Bible says if you receive Christ, as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become sons of God. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and him only for your salvation, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have a chance. You've been given a chance. Not only have you been given a chance to hear the gospel, you've been given a chance to do good as a Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. I have repeatedly over the years preached the truth to you, rebuked you, instructed you, informed you, reproved you. And some of you, you know, there's been times, and listen, my time's drawing near where you won't have to listen to it no more. I know some of you's got mad, and I've watched your expressions out there, and you blow up like a bullfrog and don't want to look at me and take offense to it. All right. This little bitty things I say to you that just sort of set wrong with you, you'll thank God you heard it. You'll thank God you heard it. And the other churches up and down this road that ain't got a pastor with the guts to say it, and he don't know it. You don't, nobody in this church that has to end up at the judgment seat of Christ bankrupt. I've warned you and I've preached to you and I've tried to put a stoke of fire under you about it. Nobody in this church has to face God and just get up there and everything with a blank stare. You can do right. Because I've preached to you and I've taught to you. You ain't in no Joel Osteen church. Amen. Where everything's right and everybody's smiling. Let's just all get along. Let's just be ecumenical and, you know, everybody just get together and we'll just have a big old hootenanny together. And it don't matter what you believe and don't matter what you think. We're gonna forsake the truth for the sake of unity. Come on, brother. Let's just all get along. You know, let's just all have shut your door Sunday. Everybody shut your door Sunday and go up. Y'all get together and go up there on the square and have a hootenanny. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm not for that. Yeah. We're not going that way. Amen. Thank you. Somebody in here's got some sense. Amen. We're not going that route. Amen. This is where we go to church at on Sunday morning. We're not shutting our doors for nothing. Amen. The very idea getting on the radio and talking about promoting a shut your door on Sunday and let everybody leave your local church and go up there on the square. Christians are stupid and untrained in the Bible. They ain't even got any idea that's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real quiet in here now, ain't it? You think I give a rip? I preach more on it. I don't care if it's my daddy, my mama, that woman I'm married to, my youngin', your sister, your brother, or whoever. I'm going to preach against it.
Amen.
See, some of you have been coming up to me and y'all weeping, crying, sad, telling me how you sad and all about me leaving. So I'm going to fix it where you'll be glad when I leave. I'm gonna help you with your sorrow. I'm gonna tick about half of you off for a leave, and you'll be glad to get rid of me. Pilate had a chance, and you do too, thank God.
Amen.
Number two, Pilate made a choice. Pilate had a chance, and Pilate made a choice. Just like you are. He made a choice. He said, yeah, preacher, it was rough. It was tough. Listen, there's some people in this world. It's easy for us. We're down here in South Alabama.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to church in Alabama. Everybody's a Christian in Alabama. Yeah. Everybody ain't a Christian in Alabama.
Amen.
Everybody ain't a Christian that's in this church this morning.
Amen.
We won't get on that. But Pilate made a choice. He made a choice. You can say, boy, listen, man, there's been folks over the years that's been disinherited by their mom and daddy. They've been persecuted. They've been tortured. They've been burned to death. They've been beheaded. They've been imprisoned just for getting saved.
Amen.
And nobody's fooling with you. You just can't take a little ridicule. Somebody unfriended me on Facebook because I trusted Jesus. You make me sick.
Amen.
You're a stinking coward.
Amen.
You mean a fella go to the cross and die for you, shed his blood for you, an innocent man die for you, and you won't stand up for Christ and live for Christ or either trust Christ and get saved because you're scared about what somebody going to say about you?
Yeah. Amen.
You're about as weak as pond water.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry as gourd guts. Why are you insulting me, preacher? Because it's the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
You let some little old something over here when there's women, some of you men, you're scared to death, you won't take a stand for God, you won't get saved, you won't stand up. I can read historical accounts of women that were told to renounce their faith. They murdered their children in a gruesome way in front of them. They wouldn't. They set the lady's husband on fire and she wouldn't recant. They burned her and she wouldn't quit. And you sorry, good for nothing, cowardly men, you won't even go to work and stand up for Jesus. You'll let a woman suffer and watch her children murdered in front of her and she'll never say no to Christ. She'll stand up for Christ. You're a sorry, good for nothing man. You're about as useless as anything. You ought to get some guts about you and stand up for Jesus Christ and let the world go to hell if they want to. But you stand up for Jesus. You need to get a backbone like a 2x4. You need to get some something in your back. You need to quit being so spineless and such a coward and get out there and do something for Christ. Quit listening to this mess and these TV preachers and about most of these preachers all around us that they wouldn't stand up on anything. They won't stand on anything. I'm preaching like they did 100 years ago. I'm not the one that's changed. See, everybody else you talking about here, oh, Brother Dennis is mean. Why y'all listen to that? Brother Dennis is rough. Man, I hear Brother Dennis on the radio. So, listen, an 80-year-old woman called me Friday, right after my program ended. She's called me before. And she was on there. She said, I just want to tell you, I'm not saying this to brag on me, but I'm telling you how it used to be. See, she's 80 years old. She ain't 30. She's 80 years old. She said, I ain't heard preaching like that. She said, I just want to tell you, young fella. I reckon she may think I'm younger than I am. Well, I guess 45 is young to her. But She said, I just want to tell you, young man, you're encouraging me. You're blessing me. You just keep preaching it. She said, you don't stop. You don't quit. She said, boy, I love that. I haven't heard that in a long time. You just keep preaching. I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Your opinion matters. Thank you. Thank you so much. You encourage me. I'd rather hear what the 80-year-old has to say about my preaching than some little young punk. All they've ever grown up in was with a youth pastor dude and a fella about half queer up here in the pulpit. He's got lace on his britches. He wouldn't stand up and tell you the truth if his life depending on him. I tell you what, that old gray haired bunch, they know what real Bible preaching is.
Amen.
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 Well, I'm fired up about it this morning.
Amen.
You ought to raise your children in a church that gets preaching like this.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's some of you all scattered out through this congregation this morning. You got little babies, you got little kids, you got toddlers, there's young kids in here. You ought to want them to grow up with a preacher like this.
Amen.
You ought to want them to grow up here in the old time way. We got too much of this new mess. I'm sick and tired of it. Hey, in this church, you'll still open a psalm book and read the words. We won't be swaying our butt and looking at a screen and saying something over and over. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What's it to you? Nonsense. Nonsense. We're going to stay with the old time way, at least until I get out of here. I know that fella coming in here wants it too. We're going to have a place that's by the book, and we don't give a rip what anybody says. I don't know how I got off on all this, but I'm enjoying myself. Anyway, let's get back to the sermon. Pilate made a choice. He made a choice. And you're going to make a choice. Lost or saved. And what you're going to say, now listen, what we ain't worried about what you think. What did the Lord say about it? He said, he that is not with me is against me. He said, and over there in Isaiah, how long will you halt between two opinions? I mean, when Elijah's talking over there. Joshua says, choose unto you this day whom you will serve. You got to make a choice. You're going to make a choice either to receive or reject Jesus Christ. Everybody in here, you're going to make a choice. Either I receive him as my Savior to pay me for sin, or I don't have nothing to do with him. I'm all right. I'm all right. I can handle it. And then for you Christians, after you get saved, you're going to make a choice. Am I going to go to work and give in to the pressure of the people I'm working with? Am I going to go to school and give in to the pressure of the people in the school? Am I going to go in my family, give in to the pressure in my family? Am I just going to give in this world and just live like they want me to and just, you know, not try to be a thorn in anybody's side? I just want to get along with everybody and I just want everybody to like me. And you know what you'll do? You'll get everybody down here to like you maybe, but you won't get Jesus to like you. I didn't say he wouldn't love you. If you say he'll love you, he won't like you. I've always loved my son. My son can't do anything to make me not love him, but there's a lot of times I just don't like him. Amen. You're going to have to make a choice. If you're saved, do you know where you're going to wind up one day? I've preached it here. You're going to wind up at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give an account of your Christian life. And you've been trained the last 30 and 40 years that the way you do is you just forget what God told you. You don't stand up on nothing. Your main objective is to get along and be nice and love people and be kind. Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't love people, but I'm not saying you shouldn't be kind. But you don't forsake truth for unity. The most important thing ain't unity and loving one another. The most important thing is obeying God and loving Jesus Christ more than yourself or anyone else.
Amen.
That's what's important. And you're going to make a choice. You have a chance to do right or wrong, and you're going to make a choice, and it's going to be a right or wrong one. You're going to make a choice whether to receive Christ or not. And you're going to make a choice after you receive Christ, what you're going to do with Christ. Either live for him or not. But I tell you what, you cannot get saved here this morning, Christian, and then go to the old figurative bowl there. Well, I got saved. I got my fire insurance. Finish with that. Matter of fact, I ain't going this way. I want to go back into the world.
Come on.
Nah. You never get to wash your hands of Jesus Christ. It's never done. Listen, folks, it ain't over until it's over. And it ain't over until you stand before God. Finally, I have one more point. Pilate had a chance, Pilate made a choice, and Pilate suffered the consequences. See, he suffered the consequences of his decision. You know, Matthew 12:30 says, "He that is not with me is against me." And when he made a choice, see, this is what Pilate thought. He thought like you. He wanted to remain neutral. He washed his hands, says, "It ain't my fault. They brought them to me. They really wasn't nothing I could do." Nah, you weren't neutral in the thing, Pilate.
Yeah, right.
You stamped your approval on an innocent man to be crucified.
Amen.
And Pilate suffered the consequences. You say, what is that? Well, when Jesus Christ is standing before him and he says about truth, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" And he walks out. He never stayed in there to listen to Jesus. He rejected truth. There's no indication in the Bible at all that Pilate ever changed his mind. Do you know what? Everybody look up here at me now. I'm getting ready to close this morning, but listen to me. Pilate has been somewhere many miles below our feet, burning in hell for some 2,000 years. I said that he's been burning in hell for some 2,000 years. You see, God will give you a chance, and then God will let you make the choice. But then you have no control over the consequences. I've heard people say this before in their preaching, and technically, I understand what they're saying. They're saying, God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send your own self to hell. I've heard preachers say that. Technically, I know what they're saying. They're saying that God made a way for you to be saved, and so he doesn't send you to hell. By you rejecting Christ, you send yourself to hell. Technically, that's right, but it's literally, no, it's not. There's nobody ever going to die and stand before God and say, "You're right, God, I missed it," and then to go do a cannonball out into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
He's going to carry you away screaming and hollering, and God will boot you into hell.
Yeah.
God is the one that puts you into hell. God, it don't matter if he sends a death angel or whatever he does, it's God. Nobody willingly goes into the lake of fire. He's going to put you in there.
Amen.
God puts you into hell. God gets the last say. Everybody said, you know, you ever talk to anybody on earth, they want to get the last word in an argument? Anything you say, teenagers are bad about that. You just want to slap their jaws off, man. Yeah, amen. Come on. Well, you ought to. Any stinking low down good for nothing teenager that keep back talking to your mom and daddy, you ought to get your face slapped. I don't even care if your mom and daddy's right, if wrong and you're right, you ain't got no cotton picking business talking to them like that. My son didn't do that. Need to do him like my daddy told me. Here's another. I'm just feel out preaching. I'm trying to close this thing down. I'm having a good time this morning. My daddy told me when I turned about 12 or 13, you know, many of you folks know my daddy. He's a little fella. He ain't a very big fella. And so when I was 12, I was taller than him and weighed more than him, bigger than him. You know what my daddy told me? He said, "Son, you're bigger than I am now." He said, "I ain't going to whip you no more if you don't do what I say. I'm going to hit you with my fist."
Amen.
I said, "Well, you know what? I was always scared of my daddy." Let me tell you something about my daddy. My daddy never whipped me but two times in my whole life. And you say, "Boy, wasn't you a mean boy?" Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. I didn't do it much around him. You say, your daddy only whipped you twice? Yes, he only whipped me twice, but if DHR had been out there, they took me away from him. When he did it right. Amen. My daddy is a little fella, but I knew he meant what he said. Amen. He said, I'll just pop you in the face. Now, you know what that would have been? Consequences of a teenage punk. I'm going to tell you where it's all going to wind up one day. We're getting ready to close. Philippians chapter 2, if you read that, it'll tell you where it's all going to wind up. I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and turn over there. Let's go over here and turn over there. Let's read that. Philippians chapter 2. How's it all going to wind up with the consequences? Any of you ever heard anybody that said, I'll bow my head to nobody? I'll bow my knee to nobody. Ah, oh, you're stupid.
Amen.
Yes, you will. This is where it's all going to wind up for everybody. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who? Jesus Christ. And given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now guess what? I've already done that on this earth. I've bowed my knee and confessed him as Lord. So in that day when I confess him as Lord, it's going to be a joy. It's going to be like, yes, hallelujah, he is the Lord. But for all the lost in that day, it's going to be a day of fear and trembling. It's going to be the Lord up there and he says, get down, boy. Get down. 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 Put you into hell forever. You know what this world thinks? Everybody look up here at me now. You know what this world thinks? Millions and millions and millions and billions that have come through since the time of Christ. They think, out of sight, out of mind. I'm not worrying about it. I've got too much going right now. I can't be worried about that. I'm going to wash my hands of it. I'm going to throw it down there, all that dirt and grime in that basin, and I'm walking away, and I'll never have to think about Christ again. I'll never have to worry about Christ again. It's an issue of the past. No, it's not.
Amen.
No, it's not. You cannot wash your hands of Christ.
Amen.
You will meet him again someday.
Amen.
That's a horrendous mistake that the devil has deceived people about.
Amen.
And one day, everybody is going to bow the knee and say, yes, you're Lord. Yes, you're the King of Kings.
Amen.
And if you didn't already do it on this earth, it'll be a bad, bad day. Pilate's mistake. For God's sake, people, don't make the same mistake.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed.